Bibles, if you would, please, and turn to the book of Philippians. We are continuing in a discussion about parenting. We've talked about the place to start. We've talked a little bit about discipline. And today we're going to talk about overcoming some of the challenges. In Philippians chapter 3, we'll be looking at 10 through 21 in just a minute. I was looking for insight into overcoming parental challenges this week from the Word of God, and I found one mom who wrote a recipe on how to bake a cake, which expressed some of her challenges. And her recipe for making a cake is first to preheat the oven and get out the utensils and the ingredients. So far, so good. And then number two is to remove all the blocks and toy cars from the table where she intends to make the cake. Number three is to grease the pan and crack some nuts for the cake. Number four is to measure 2 cups of flour, remove the baby's hands from the flour, wash the baby, and remeasure the flour. And some of you moms know what that's all about. And then put the flour and the baking powder and salt into the sifter. Then get out the dustpan and brush and pick up all the pieces of the broken bowl that your little one knocked over on the floor and get a new bowl. Then answer the doorbell. And then return to the kitchen and remove the baby from the bowl, and then wash the bowl. And then answer the phone and come back to the kitchen and take the salt out of the bowl and look for the baby. And then come back and take all of the nutshells out of the pan you intend to make the cake in. Chase your fleeing baby across the floor, wash the kitchen floor, wash the table, wash the walls, wash the dishes, and go to Hy-Vee and buy a cake. And sometimes it works like that, and these are some of the small, kind of humorous challenges of parenting, and we can see, well, there's just challenges that come as a result of being a parent. When you decide to be a parent, all sorts of other things are decided for you. You won't make decisions the way you made them before, because you have to think about where you're going and how you're going to get there and what you're going to do with your little one, and what do we do with diapers and clothes and naps and feeding and all of those things. And so when we decide to become a parent, we decide to take on certain challenges. Every parent realizes that. And some of those challenges are much more difficult than others. We're going to talk about some of them this morning. My wife and I prayed for our children like many of you did before they were born. And we prayed for God to help us and for God to teach them and for God to have mercy in our parenting. And we prayed for them before we even knew what they would look like. And then when we had our little ones, we began to pray for their spouses. And we began to pray that God would bring someone into their lives that would complement them and help them to grow and know the Lord Jesus Christ. I've made pretty clear in our talks about parenting, the Bible doesn't have tons of information specifically for parenting, because the information contained in the Bible about the gospel for Christian maturity really does apply to parenting. And so when I think of the challenges, I just look for a passage that talks about what it looks like to grow up in the Christian life and trust in God, and find that many of the specific things that parents should know are just the truths of the Bible. Let's look together at Philippians chapter 3, begin reading in verse 10. Think about the general sense of the Christian life, and then think about the specifics as they could apply to parenting in this passage. Philippians chapter 3, verses 10 to 21. My goal, says the Apostle Paul, is to know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering, being conformed to His death, assuming that I will somehow reach the resurrection from among the dead. Not that I have already reached the goal or am already fully mature, but I make every effort to take hold of it, because I have been taken hold of by Jesus Christ. Brothers, I do not consider myself to have taken hold of it, but this one thing I do, forget what is behind and reaching forward to what is ahead. I pursue as my goal the prize promised by God's heavenly call in Jesus Christ, and therefore all who are mature should think this way. And if you think differently about anything, God will reveal this to you also. In any case, we should live up to whatever truth we have attained. Join in imitating me, brothers, and observe those who live according to the example you have in us. For I have often told you, and now I say again with tears, that many live as enemies of the cross, and their end is destruction. Their God is their stomach, their glory is in their shame.
and they are focused on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, from which we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And He will transform the body of our humble condition into the likeness of His glorious body by the power that enables Him to subject everything to Himself. Notice how the general truths in this passage can apply specifically to parenting. The goal of parenting is to know Him and the power of His resurrection, the fellowship of His suffering. The goal of parenting is to bring our kids to that place where they know and understand that. And fellowship in His suffering, right? To understand what it means to not just know God, but to suffer with Jesus. In verse 12, we see the place to start. We talked about that a few weeks ago. Where do we start? And the place is to mature ourselves. And so Paul says, not that I've already reached the goal, not that I'm already completely mature, but I'm working on that. And parents, you are too. And you're helping your kids do that. And we see something of the discipline in verses 12 through 20 of taking a hold of the goal and Jesus having taken a hold of me and reaching ahead and pursuing the prize and thinking of the way that we should think in verse 15 and living up to the truth that we've already obtained in verse 16 and training our children to do that. And then we realize, and very soberly in verses 18 and 19, that the stakes are very high. And not everybody does this, because some people, their God is just their stomach and whatever they can get out of this life. And then we see in the end, the hope of the Christian is actually the hope of the parents. In verses 20 and 21, that our citizenship is in heaven and we eagerly wait for Jesus Christ to take us there and to transform our humble, lowly, meager, sinful condition, to transform that into the beauty and glory of Himself. We're going to look at three categories today of parental challenge and see how the gospel overcomes them. When we understand about challenges in parenting and overcoming them, though, it's very important to understand some things that parenting is not and some things that parenting is like. So, for example, parenting is not like a computer, right? It's not like if I just type in a certain number of commands, then here's exactly what happens. And so when we parent our children, it isn't like input-output. Well, it is input-output, but not like a computer. If I make certain strokes on my keyboard, I expect an exact duplicated result every time on my screen, because that's how a computer works, and parenting is not like that. Some parents do things that work very well for their children. Some parents do the same things and experience failure, and we understand that. And so it's not like a computer. We don't just do a certain list of things, and if we get the keystrokes right, we get a child like this. It doesn't work that way. Parenting is not like the lottery. Now, of course, I don't want you to consider buying lottery tickets. I hope you don't. That'd be a very poor steward of God's money. But sometimes we think of parenting as a lottery. You know, I'll just do a whole bunch of stuff and maybe I'll win. Maybe I'll hit it big and my kids will turn out okay. So I'll just try all kinds of stuff and see if it works, and maybe I'll win and maybe I won't. Parenting's not like that at all. Parenting's not like the military. We just can't command into the lives of our children a certain result. We just can't determine that if we're the drill sergeant and they get the short haircut and put the uniform on and have the right curfew and do everything we say, they'll just turn out a certain way. It doesn't work like that. It's not like the military at all. So what is parenting like? And I have two answers for you: medicine and gardening. Well, you could think of some more, but we'll use these. It's like medicine, isn't it? It's addressing problems and concerns that threaten good health, and we work through the means available to bring health where it is threatened. And so when we see challenges of emotional or relational or spiritual health challenges, and we think sort of medicinally, and we say, no, this is going to cause a problem. And if we don't address this sort of issue in a medicine-like fashion, down the road, we're going to have some really serious problems. And so we think of it kind of medicinally, as affecting cures with the means at our disposal to stop unhealthiness and cause healthiness. Or it's like a garden. It's gardening in the sense that you have a certain set of objectives to raise a crop, and you have a certain set of tools, a hoe, a rototiller, a spade, a shovel, a rake, and you have a set of seeds maybe that you can plant, and you use those things to labor to accomplish what you can while you trust in God. And even the best of gardeners have crop failures, because some of it just is out of your control. And you can till the soil and plant the seeds and put the fertilizer, and you can have hail come and trash your garden, or you can have things that come from the outside you have no control over that literally destroy the work that you've made. And so there's a part of every parent that does what he or she can with the tools that God gives and then totally trusts in God to bring the fruit to the table. And while we do that, we see some challenges. And I'm going to put them in three categories this morning. Developmental, destructive, and depravity. Developmental being those challenges that we struggle with as parents that really are just in the way that a child's developing. And there's lots and lots of children that are developmentally challenged and they're struggling with things that other children don't have to struggle with. And some little children say, "Mommy, why don't my legs work like somebody else's?" Or, "Mommy, how come I don't talk like other kids?" Or, "Mommy, how come the other kids look at me and think maybe that I'm funny? What's happening, Mommy? Why am I developed differently than someone else?" A developmentally challenged. And then this destructive elements, things that are totally out of your control and come as a result of living in a sinful, broken world, and things happen to your families and your children that are just the effect of the enemy wreaking havoc on everything that God loves. And sometimes you wake up as a parent and you have things that happen in your lives of your children and your family and they break your heart. And it wasn't a parenting failure. It was a destructive power of the enemy who wars against your soul and wreaks havoc in your family and breaks your hearts. And some parents have buried their children already, some in this room. And they just had no control over what was happening. And then thirdly, depravity. There's that part of parenting that we all know too well that is challenging because of the sin that dwells in our own hearts. I heard one preacher say, "The devil is not my biggest problem. I am my biggest problem. And the sin that dwells in me that I discipline out of my own life with the help of godly men and women around me, and the sin that dwells in the lives of your children that with your help and guidance and discipline you work that out of their lives." And there's that part that's just because we're broken, sinful people that we have challenges in parenting. Let's look at developmental first. God made man in a perfect greenhouse-like environment with no sin, and man disobeyed God and fell, and creation has groaned under the effects of sin ever since. And things change in a way that we can only dream about what it would be like to live without sin and without climate challenges and without rotten. I just think in the Garden of Eden, it was just a perfect equilibrium-like environment. And there wasn't rotten food because the animals just ate what fell. And it was just this perfect environment. And we don't have that. We have an environment that messes with us. And we struggle with all kinds of situations out there that are the indirect result of sin. Just because we live in a broken world, that's all. And so because of that, sometimes we have developmental challenges that we just wrestle with. What do we do with that? Some children have developmental issues, and I want you to know that God was not surprised by that. Psalms chapter 139, 13, if you want to turn there. Psalms chapter 139, verse 13, very familiar passage. The Bible tells us, "For it was you," referring to God, "who created my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb, and I will praise you because I have been remarkably and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful, and I know this full well." Every little child ever was knitted together in their mother's womb by the fingers of God. And some parents ask the question, "Why does my little one have developmental challenges if someone else doesn't?" And the answer is God understands that. And God made them that way. And that's something that God has asked for you to bear as a challenge. And we have some of those little ones among us. And we love them too. And we love them especially because God made them. I found a book recently that I wanted to give to three families in our church. And this book is called Just the Way That I Am. And it's a book written by a mom who had a developmentally challenged child, and they really wrestled before God. What do we do with this? And what's God trying to teach me? And how do we respond? And the book is just a series of pictures and Bible verses that helps to explain how God actually is involved in every part of our children's lives. And One picture says, God made me. God wasn't playing games. God made me. You formed me in my inward parts. And another picture says, God made me just the way He wanted. And another picture said, God loves me just the way I am. And parents, you have to teach your children that. And if they have developmental challenges, you have to teach your children that God made you exactly the way you are. And so I had three of these. I gave one to Carla Ray, who works with our children, who's not here this morning. And I have one for the Songstead family. And we love you guys. And Aaron, we love you, buddy, okay? And I have one for the Waggy family. And we love you guys. And Carl, we love you, buddy, okay? And we understand that some of these challenges are very challenging. And maybe we don't experience them personally, but we understand the dilemma that that creates. And we have to look at the gospel and say, how does the gospel change how I see this? How does the gospel help me through that? And our answer is that the gospel teaches us that God is in control. The gospel teaches us that God restores brokenness. The gospel teaches us that God will lead us not just to know the power of His resurrection, but that He'll teach us all in different ways to experience the fellowship of His suffering. And when we ask those really hard questions, God, why? And God says, you're experiencing what I've experienced, and you are suffering, and you're understanding what it's like to experience the fellowship of my suffering. And so sometimes we have to go back to the gospel and say, do I really trust God? Do I believe Him? Do I know that He is good? And the answer for the Christian is yes. And then we face destructive challenges. These are challenges, I would say, that come from outside of parenting, just a part of living in a sinful, broken world, and things that come into our lives and into our families that show that the enemy of our souls is always at work. And we see this in the book of Ephesians, chapter 6. We know that Satan tormented Job, right? We know that Satan, in the book of 2 Samuel, incited David to take a census, and it was very painful for the people as God's discipline came into that group of people. And in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12 and following, we see that the battle is not against flesh and blood, but it's against the rulers and authorities and powers of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavens. And this is why you must take up the full armor of God, so that you may be able to resist in the evil day. And having prepared for everything, take your stand. What's the armor of God? It's faith and knowledge, and it's salvation. The armor of God protects me against the evil that wants to overcome everything that God loves. And you'll experience that sometimes in your families. The influences are all around us and ever worsening because of the influence of the enemy who wars with our souls. Bad friends and bad teaching and indoctrination in places that you didn't catch in time. Your children begin thinking, or maybe even your college students begin thinking things, and how did they ever come to this conclusion? Because they were indoctrinated by the enemy. And drug abuse and muggings and theft and sexual abuse and rape and all kinds of pain and challenge that comes into our families because we live on a broken planet that God is one day going to call to account. Our answer again is from the gospel. That God is in control, that God will restore brokenness, that God will not just lead us to know the power of the resurrection from Philippians, but the presence of His suffering, and that God brings hope where there is pain, and God brings restoration where there is heartache, and God brings healing where there is brokenness. And there are those things that come into your lives as parents that are the influence of the enemy outside of us, and they break our hearts and they make us weep and cry for our children, our families. And we have to go back to the gospel and say, God, were you there? Do you care? Is Romans 8:28 true for me? Can you, God, make everything work together for good to those who love you? Because I love you and I want to see this, God, work together for good. I want to believe. And then sometimes in parenting we have challenges just because of depravity. This is not just developmental or destructive, but our little babies are born into our families as sinners. They know how to sin when they're born, families. I know they're cute and they say lots of cute things, and we dress them up and put little bows in their hair and put the right color clothes on them and snuggle them up, and that's gorgeous. But inside that little tender, pure-looking infant that's so sweet is a heart that knows how to sin when it's born. And that's you and that's me and that's our kids. And so how do we deal with that? And the answer is the gospel. We teach our children what it looks like to repent to God, to be forgiven, to forgive others, to have a relationship with God. Our children do not become sinners when they sin because they are sinners. And the answer for little sinners born into our family is the gospel, and we have to train our children to understand the gospel is what overcomes. Do you understand you did something wrong, and do you see what happened here? And yes, and I'm going to forgive you. I'm going to discipline you, but I'm going to forgive you. And God forgives us just like that. And we model that for our children. And one of the ways that we overcome depravity in our own lives and the lives of our children is to receive the forgiveness that comes from God and to give it to others. To repent before God and to repent to others when we fail. And we live out the gospel before them because sometimes the things that we deal with in our families that break our hearts are our very own sinfulness within our families and our children. We have lots of laws in our society because people have to be controlled, right? I mean, people are sinners, and so we have law after law after law to keep people in check, because if we don't, they have no restraint. I read about the property laws of a toddler, and this is not something that you taught your children. This is just what they were kind of born with. The property laws of a toddler are, if I like it, it's mine. If it's in my hand, it's mine. If I can take it away from you, it's mine. If I had it a little while ago, it's mine. If it's mine, it must never appear to be yours in any way. If I'm doing or building something, all the pieces that are involved in that are mine. If it looks like mine, it's mine. If I saw it first, it's mine. If you are playing with something and you put it down, it automatically becomes mine. If it's broken, it's yours. You know, we laugh at that, but it's like, it kind of has a scary truth behind it, right? And we teach our kids about that, and we teach them what it looks like to be selfless. We're all sinners, parents and their children, but by the grace of God, there is a forgiveness available in Jesus Christ, and that's how we forget what is behind and press on. Every challenge you've had in parenting, you can sit before the Lord Jesus Christ and say, God, for the part of that was my fault, forgive me, and I'm free from that burden. Parents, if you carry guilt in your lives because of parental mistakes you made, forgive it, confess it, ask God for forgiveness, and it's over, it's done. Jesus paid for that on the cross. You don't have to feel guilty anymore. And for your kids, if they do something hard or hurtful, you can teach them to be forgiven, to ask forgiveness from you, to repent and be made whole. The answer to sin is in the gospel. And the answer to the sin in our lives with our families is in the gospel. Teach your children what is wrong. Teach them why they do wrong. Teach them how to stop. Teach them how to have a new heart. Teach them why it matters to have a new heart. Teach them what to do when they fall, when they stumble, when they sin, and model that before them. And then guard them from taking the truths of the Christian life for granted, so that, Philippians 3, verse 10, my goal is to know Him and the power of His resurrection, and the fellowship of His suffering, to be conformed to His death, assuming that somehow I will reach the resurrection from among the dead. Parents, you will have challenges as parents, developmentally, destructively, sinfully. And God's Word encourages us in those challenges with the hope of the gospel. What hope would we have if it wasn't for that? The next parenting book? Dr. Phil? Oprah? Where's our hope going to lie? And the answer is our hope lies in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ working out in our lives, in our families, in our children. And that's where we find hope from every challenge. Philippians 3 tells us, don't be focused on earthly things, because our citizenship is in heaven, from which we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And He will transform the body of our humble condition into the likeness of His glorious body by the power that enables Him to subject everything to Himself, including your life and the life of your family and those challenges that we face. One anonymous writer said, "I gave you life, but I can't live it for you. I can teach you things, but I can't make you learn. I can give you directions, but I can't always be there to lead you. I can take you to church, but I can't make you believe. I can teach you right from wrong, but I can't decide for you. I can teach you to be a friend, but I cannot make you one. I can teach you to share, but I cannot make you be unselfish. I can teach you respect, but I can't force you to show honor. I can advise you about your friends, but I cannot choose them for you. I can teach you about sex, but I cannot keep you pure. I can tell you about drinking, but I can't say no for you. I can tell you about drugs, but I can't keep you from using them. I can teach you about kindness, but I can't force you to be kind. I can warn you about sins, but I cannot make morals for you. I can love you as a daughter or a son, but I cannot place you in the family of God. I can pray for you, but I cannot pray for you. I can teach you about Jesus, but I cannot make Him your Savior. I can teach you to obey, but I can't make you obey Jesus. I can tell you how you ought to live, but I cannot give you eternal life. But God can, through the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross, and the hope of the parent is in the gospel for every challenge. Let's pray. Father, every honest parent has many challenges in parenting. And I pray this morning for you to flood the gospel into our parenting, into our families, into our lives. And Father, may we see the hope of the gospel worked out in our families, in our mistakes and challenges. In Jesus' name, amen.
Means by
spent so slow.